Well, good morning and welcome to Wednesday's edition of Good Morning Live. I trust and pray that you are having a good morning on this rainy Wednesday morning and that you are up and doing what you're supposed to be doing. If you're like me, I mean, man, I could have gone a double shift in sleeping, but we got to rise. So that's why hopefully you tune into here, that we can encourage you, inspire you, and get you started in your day full of faith. Well, we're going to continue on today in our journey of talking about boldness and living our life in public, right? Living our lives before God, but not being ashamed, but taking a stand. Yesterday, we talked about speaking with boldness. And I really feel like it is the answer to this cultural moment, if you will, of everything that's going on in our world. Is the lesson in it is to rise up and live justly before God, but before man. I said to you yesterday that, you know, I do believe that one of the strategies and tactics of the adversary is to get the church to back up and live in the shadows. And when the righteous aren't living on display, when the righteous aren't living in the public sphere, well, then, man, it just opens the door for darkness to flood in. So we are the redeemed. We are the children of the Most High God. We are called with destiny and purpose. And therefore, we will rise to the occasion to enforce the kingdom of God in every sphere of life that we have influence in. And man, I think that's the mandate. That's the call. So that's what we're diving in doing. So I want to go this morning to a familiar Bible story. You know, Sunday I talked about David and Goliath, and I had told the church, I said, you know, when I was studying for my sermon and thinking about which direction I wanted to go in, I changed my sermon like three times because I really felt like I needed to characterize David's fight with Goliath of where the church is right now. And I just kept trying to change it because I kept thinking, we know David and Goliath. Like, you know, I probably quote the Israelites coming out of Egyptian bondage more than any other preacher, only because I find so much life and inspiration, you know, through their journey and warnings, you know, not just inspiration, but warnings for what they did wrong through their journey. And it's like, as a preacher, you're like, man, I got to quit quoting these same stories. And it's like, so not David and Goliath again. And, but in this season, when we're talking about living boldly and we're talking about taking a stand, it really does come back to some of these foundational Bible characters. I don't want to call them stories because they're real people, real events that happen. But these men and women in the history of the Bible, I think who made the Bible because they took a stand. So today, we're going to go back to Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, to our good friend Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here's what they answered the king. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image that you have set up. I love that. Let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Listen, what I have found in modern day society is we have shifted the names of our idols. We've shifted the names of gods in society, but they still exist. And what many times is, you know, our society has idols that they worship. And listen, just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, sometimes you got to stand up to culture and say, listen, we will not serve your God. It's not the God we serve. Like, I often think it's strange and funny that, you know, the world would look at the church and say, why would you give your money to a church? Why would you do that? Because I don't serve the same God as you. right? You give your money to the slots, you give your money to the lottery system, you give your money to alcohol, you give your money to the next relationship and fling that you're trying to have fill a void, because those are the gods that you serve. But for me and my house, we serve the one and only true God. So my point in saying that, I'm not here to talk about your money today, what I'm talking about is the world is bold in their declaration of, well, why would you do that? Why would you forgive? Why would you pray? Why would you go to church on a Sunday morning? Why would you structure your family, you know, around faith? Why do you do that? Why would you bow your head and pray in a restaurant? Because we don't serve the same gods you serve. And in return, why would you not do this? Why would you not support that? Or why would you not go there? The answer is the same. Because as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we do not serve the same God that you do. Come on. That's freeing. That's all you need to tell anybody. Why do you do that? Because I don't serve the same God as you. Right? All right. So what do you do? Right? Here's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are. What do you do when your faith costs you something? What do you do when standing for Jesus means losing popularity, means risking a job, or as we've seen this past week with Charlie Kirk, even your life? What do you do? Listen, because boldness is more than just speaking. It's having the courage to stand firm when culture demands that you bow. This isn't new. Like, we're reading from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thousands of years ago. An idol was erected in their day, and leaders and government were saying, you bow to this idol that we have erected, or if not, it's going to cost you something. Come on, it's nothing new under the sun. Where do we find ourselves in this hour? A culture saying, you bow to our idols, you bow to what we think is true, or it's going to cost you something. But listen, I want us to get this, because boldness, yesterday we talked about boldness to speak, but boldness is more than just speaking. It's having the courage to stand firm when culture demands you to bow low. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they show us what authentic boldness looks like under pressure. So King Nebuchadnezzar sets up this statue, this golden statue, commanding all of the leaders and citizens that, listen, whenever you hear this music, you bow. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew something that I think we have to grasp. It was more than political. It was spiritual. It was more than politics. Wasn't about who the king was. It wasn't about, paying their taxes. It wasn't about, no, this was spiritual idolatry. As I started saying earlier, our culture today has its own golden images. You know what I think we bow our knee to? Approval on social media. You know, one of the greatest things is that I think, Charlie Kirk did for the younger generation was allowed them, and this is what he has said in some of his interviews, is that he gave voice to a generation of conservatives, of Bible-believing youth, people who don't necessarily agree with culture. But many of them have said that the culture, especially on college campuses, the pressure was so real to blend in and conform. College students have come out and said, listen, if my teachers have said, well, if I don't write the article out of this worldview, then I failed because obviously I don't understand the assignment, or I don't understand culture. I'm not doing enough research, right? Like, it wasn't an equal playing field, like write the assignment out of your worldview or debate it. No, if you didn't write it out of this liberal worldview, then you have failed the assignment. But what happens is somebody like Charlie Kirk, or like many men and women I believe do around the world, come in and say, listen, I'm like you. I believe like you. But what happens is the culture so much puts pressure on you conform. And if you don't conform, then you're cut down. So what happens is people act one way on social media, out in public, out in the workplace, out in the public sphere, then they really believe in their heart. Why? Because there's this public pressure for them to conform. Well, listen, I'll lose my followers if I say this. If I tell people what I really believe, then people will report me on social media, or they'll block me, or I'll lose, I won't be in the in crowd. So what do? We bow our knee to approval on social media. And for some of you like me, who's like, oh yeah, that's right, I got to check Facebook anymore. And like, Facebook is for the old crowd now, right? And, if you're like me, you're like, oh yeah. Not quite an issue here, but I get it. Or we do it at work to compromise, to fit in. We back down. We act like we believe something that we don't. Why? Because I don't want to be the odd guy out. I don't want to have this debate. I don't want my lunches to be awkward. So what do? We remain silent when truth needs to be spoken. But boldness now. Boldness requires saying no when everyone else bows. When everyone else bows, boldness comes in and says, no, I will not bow to your idols of acceptance and approval. I will not bow to those idols. Why? I don't worship the same gods that you do. I don't worship the same gods that you do. So their reply, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's reply to the king, I believe reveals three dimensions to bold faith, and that's what I want to talk to us today about. Number one, no fear of man. No fear of man. For them to respond to the king, the leading ruler of their day, and say these words, I have no need to answer you in this matter. I have no need to answer you in this matter. That's bold. That's strong. That's taking a stand. We have to eliminate and eradicate from our lives, church, the fear of man. And listen, I understand there's always that level, of we all want approval. We all want acceptance. We all, nobody, unless you're like prone to loving confrontation, nobody wants that. But when the fear of God overrides the fear of man. Come on. It's like, yeah, I don't really want to start drama with you. I don't really want to enter into this debate with you, but my fear of God outweighs my fear of anything that you can do to me. Come on. So we have to have I believe the antidote for the fear of man is the fear of God. So they say, well, we don't need to answer you in this matter. And then number two, they had faith in God's ability. Remember, they said, we don't need to answer you in this matter. We know our God is able to deliver us. They had faith in God's ability. But thirdly, they had faith regardless of outcome. They said, we do not need to answer you in this matter. Our God is able to deliver us. But if not. But if not, listen, authentic boldness is not conditional. It doesn't say, I'll follow God as long as I win. I just said a whole lot right there. Because we have been so prone in our American church and our seeker-friendly thinking that says, I'll follow God if everything works out, if it's easy, if I see the results. If it all comes together, listen, following God isn't a contingent. There's not contingencies on our part. Well, God, I'll follow you, but here's what I expect. I expect to win. I expect it to look like this. What about following God and it doesn't work out at all like you anticipated? Like, come on, the biggest roadblock to people stepping out in faith is past disappointments. I believe that's what Jesus was trying to teach, when Lazarus died and he went and he waited. It says when he heard Lazarus was sick and, that He could have healed him then, but now Lazarus is dead. It's been multiple days that Lazarus has been dead. It's not like it was a quick thing. And he gets there and I believe what he was trying to teach in that moment is Mary and Martha, will you still love me and serve me through disappointment? Through Jesus, we supported your ministry. We trusted you. Why did you wait? Why weren't you here? Why did you let this happen? Will you still follow me? Jesus' response said, listen, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Doesn't matter how many days they've been long gone in the grave. I'm here now. I think one of the lessons we can take from that is, listen, what if God called you to take a stand and it meant a friendship? It meant a job. It meant a business opportunity. And even outside of that realm, what if God called you to start the business and whatever reason, it just didn't work? You know, I heard the founder of Teen Challenge preaching one time, and he was saying that, you know, they're opening all these campuses, and he really felt strongly to open this one campus in this city. And, you know, he rallied everybody. He kept saying, God said to do this. We're supposed to do this. And, lo and behold, they opened it, and within just a few short months, it completely fell apart. The funding dried up. It did not work, and they had to close the door. And he said he really, really struggled with that because it was like, well, God, I believe I heard you in this. He said it wasn't until a long time later, one man had come up to him after an event and said, listen, I was saved in that city's Teen Challenge program. Not short after you guys closed your door. And he had to reframe because for all these years, he felt like, well, God didn't make it work. It didn't, you know, he kind of had this inward doubt in God because, well, he stepped out and it didn't work out. But what he didn't see is one person was changed and God had a part of a bigger plan. And what if the step was like, God wants to see, are you obedient? I know the business didn't work like you thought it was going to work, but did you do what I asked you to do? Were you obedient to step out? Listen, we are never required to, we're never required for results when trusting God. We're required to obey. God's responsible for results. He didn't say, Moses, I'll part the Red Sea. If you step out on the water, hold your stick up and make the water separate. He said, Moses, don't you worry about how it's going to part. Don't you worry about how you're going to get across. Don't you worry about what's going to happen to Pharaoh who's pursuing you. I told you I quote the Israelites quite a lot. He said, don't worry about any of that. You do what it is that I've called you to do. You take the step of faith. You walk into the water. You hold your staff and I'll take care of the results. Right? So being obedient shouldn't come with, I'll follow as long as I win. It should come with, even if not, I will not bow. Real boldness is allegiance to God, not results. Real boldness is allegiance to God, not results. What Meshach, and Abednego found out, and you can continue this in Daniel chapter 3, I think it's verse 24, is that they were thrown into the fire. But the form of a fourth man, like the Son of God, Scripture says, was found or seen by the king in the fire. What I have found, and I believe what many people have found, and probably you would affirm as well, is that the presence of God is never more tangible than it is when you stand in the midst of the fire. Jesus didn't keep them from the fire. He met them in the fire. See, we say, God, I'll be allegiant to you. I'll be bold. I'll be strong. I'll be courageous. I'll take a stand. I'll fight for justice. I'll proclaim the gospel, but keep me from the fire. And Jesus says, no, if you're going to follow me, it's not about being kept from the fire. It's about me meeting you in the fire. David would say this when he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. He didn't say, Father, I thank you that you are the God that keeps me from the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I thank you that you walk me through the valley, which means I know I'm coming out the other side. But it doesn't mean you don't have to walk. It says the waters will not overtake me. They will not drown me. The fire will not burn me. That means, though, you have to be in the water. You have to be in the fire. So listen, the goal of our faith, the goal of Christianity is not to be absent from the trial, isn't to be safe and secure, right? Who said anything about safe? That the goal of Christianity is to remain steadfast and bold and trust God even in the midst of the fire. God often will allow us, you know, into these things. Why? So his power can be revealed. The fire doesn't destroy us. It refines us. The fire was never meant to destroy you. It was meant to refine you. It was meant to reveal his power. And then number four, the influence of bold faith. After they were released from the fire, the Bible says they came out not even smelling like smoke. I love that. It had no effect on them. But it says, but guess who it did have an effect on? Everyone who saw it. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar praised their God and changed the decree of the land. Their stand shifted an entire nation's perspective about God. Changed public policy, changed law, changed world influence. Listen, I was thinking on my drive in today, and just how, you know, obviously what we're going to talk about today. And I had seen this ad on TikTok, and it was about handling your money and teaching your kids about, you know, integrity with money and whatever. And I thought to myself, you know, I grew up single mom with five kids. We grew up pretty poor. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't ever remember having a lesson on money or finance or how to steward it well. I don't remember any of that. And it caused me problems early in life because I didn't know, you know, you want it, you just get it. You just do it. Time taught me, God taught me, but you know, that's not always the way. And I just begin to think to myself, you know, I have to maybe start including my kids more in the conversation and teaching them about money. And, you know, I was kind of going down that road. But then I was thinking about what we're talking about today. And I thought, you know, when you hide what you know, and truth that you know, it leaves other people who might be struggling within that same realm in darkness. Why? Because the enemy wants us to think that we are alone. We're the only ones who struggle, that we're the only ones who have issue. But when you stand publicly, when you open up your life, it gives others permission to stand too. Courage is contagious. Imagine when you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, imagine other Jewish exiles watching who were fearful, watching Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego take this stand. But now, watching what happened, watching the king change the decree, watching it change laws, watching them change society, it now inspired them to take a stand. It inspired them to do the right thing. And listen, I'm not a political preacher by nature. That's not even the goal of this whole teaching. Isn't, you know, about politics. It's about, listen, like I heard Joyce Meyer teach this years ago, a God would begin to deal with her about putting the shopping cart away, right, at the grocery store. And it wasn't that long ago I was at the grocery store, and I was loading all the kids in, Bob's screaming, all this stuff's going on. And I wanted to leave the shopping cart right there beside the car, but it kept, the parking lot was sloped, so it kept moving. So I thought, whatever, I'm just going to go push it back. But I wanted to leave it beside the car. But as I did, some guy who had, I guess, witnessed me taking the kids to the car, saw the whole thing, he came up and he stopped and he said, I just want to tell you, your kids watching you put that card away is teaching them integrity. And of course, I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you. That was the goal all along. But really, I wanted to leave the cart beside the car. It just kept shifting. So I thought about that. You know, I thought, you know, even outside of the realm of politics, you know, when your family, when your coworkers watch you do the right thing, and it might be in the realm of gossip and, you know, everyone's talking about somebody else. And did you hear this? And did you hear that? And your response of just saying, hey, listen, they're not here to defend themselves. And I don't really like just spreading lies or rumors or, you know, so I'm going to refrain from the conversation. That's taking a stand. And other people who, again, might, you know, and again, some people might be like, oh, who does she think she is? Listen, you've taken a stand for righteousness. But I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to gossip. I'm going to spread rumors. I'm not going to talk negatively about somebody who's not here to share their side of the story, right? Like, I'm not going to get involved in any of that. That's taking a stand. That's showing your children. It's showing your coworkers that, listen, here's the boundaries. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I don't serve your gods. And my God would say that we shouldn't spread hate. We shouldn't speak lies. That we shouldn't trash another person. So I know, again, a lot of this is framed with because of our cultural moment in realms of politics and all of that stuff. But I want you to frame it for our world. When you show your kids you putting the cart away, when you teach your kids, nope, that's the right thing to do. Not what's easy, what is right. What is right? What is the righteous takeaway? What's the righteous thing to do in this moment? I believe that will change everything. Listen, your stand for Christ is not just about you. It sets an example. It ignites faith in others. But it starts the scripture said, Joshua, as for me and my house, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So really quick, let me give you just four quick pointers, and I promise this will be quick. Number one, decide beforehand. Decide beforehand that you are taking a stand to live right. To live right. Like Daniel, he determined not to compromise before the test even comes. Like before God, you know, to say, Father, I'm going to live justly in my world. I'm going to do what is right, even when it cost me. Not just about politics, not just about social issues, about putting my shopping cart away, being kind to my neighbors, loving those who persecute. I'm going to live right. When I get it wrong, what do I teach us? When the righteous get it wrong, the righteous make it right. I've decided I'm going to make this right. Number two, we stay rooted in identity. You are God's child. You are not the world's. You don't serve their gods. You don't belong to them. You don't need their approval. When you die and leave this earth and you stand before your God, your Savior, it's His voice and His opinion about your life that matters alone. And He's not going to care. Well, Sheila in the cubicle, you know, two aisles over, you know, she just had a lot of pressure on me. He will judge us by our actions and deeds in this world. So stay rooted in your identity of whose you are and who you belong to and who is your God. That's good right there. That'll preach. And number three, stand together. They stood as three. Find faith-filled community. That's why Jesus warned, even as the end approaches, do not forsake the assemblings together. Why? Because alone you will fall. What did Pastor Barry Ryan used to say is the first banana separated from the bunch gets peeled, right? As long as you're connected, as long as you're together, you're a force. A three-strand cord cannot easily be broken. Be in the house of God. Be involved in community. Be involved in volunteering. Serve together. Do life together. Find faith-filled community. And number four, finally, trust God with the outcome. Trust God with the outcome. Deliverance or not, God is still worthy. Doing the right thing may hurt. Like, let me word it this way. If you made the mistake on your job, instead of lying, and saying, no, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. And knowing that I could very well get away with this. Nobody would know. Doing the right thing might mean messing up, and it might cost you your job. It may cost you income. It may cost you a lot. But you did the right thing. And I believe that when you honor God by doing the right thing, doesn't mean you're going to have to go through a valley because you took a stand. It could also, but I believe that the outcome, long-term, God will work it for your good. So deliverance or not, God is still worthy. He's still worthy. And we should walk holy before a holy God and doing the right thing. So here's my challenge for you is, where's God asking you to take a stand? At work, at school, at home? Are there compromises that you have been pressured into making? Here's the call today: no more. I will not back down. I will not be silent. I will take a stand. Yesterday, I challenged us for this entire week is to make a decision that we will share our faith. We will pray for somebody. We will share our story. We will invite somebody to church. We will do something to spread the kingdom of God. So yesterday, I challenged us to write in, if you want to take that commitment, to ask the Lord, reveal one person, one situation to me this week that I could pray for or stand with or share my story with. And I asked some of you to say, hey, if you're going to take that stand, chat in and say, I'll do it for the one. If you didn't do that yesterday and you want to take that stand, chat in today. Say, I'll do it for the one. And what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, this week, just one person, highlight them to me. Maybe it's going up and saying, hey, can I pray for you? Can I share my story? Or can I encourage you? Or can I invite you to church? Or whatever that looks like. But you're saying, Holy Spirit, I'm going to be watching and listening for you to highlight that person, that situation. And when you do, I will be obedient. I will take a stand. I will share my faith and I'll do the right thing. If that's you and you'll do that today, chat in. I'll do it for the one. Let me pray for us today. Father, we thank you. That just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's not that you don't ever call us into the fire. But today we understand that if you do, you are there with us and you stand with us, that we never stand alone. We never go alone. We never fight alone, but we fight with you. So today, Father, would you help us come out of the shadows? Would you help us come out of timidity and complacency and be bold in our faith, bold, righteous, that be like we talked about yesterday, the early church who prayed literally for boldness. We pray and ask you today, Father, for boldness, righteous boldness, to stand and declare and do what you've called us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for being on with me today. It's an honor and a privilege, like always, to spend this time with you. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. And remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.